Okay, it's a new round of fixtures in the Barclays Premier League. And I think this is match day 32. Yeah, that seems about right. Friday night fixture, Everton at home to Spurs. I saw brief highlights of this morning. And, well, both these teams, I think, are going to miss out on Europe unless they pull their socks up. But it was a pretty competitive game at Goodison Park. And two errors by the Everton defence, the two centre-halves, presented two goals for Harry Kane, which he took brilliantly. The first was with his left foot after the two Holgate and Keane got in each other's way. And he took the ball down and hit it cleanly on his left foot into the net. That was 27 minutes. 4 minutes later, Everton got back on parity. A rather innocuous sort of tackle stroke touch by Reguilón on James. Caught the back of his heel. That was enough for the Colombian to fall flat on his face. The referee gave a penalty. Sigurdsson converted. 1-1 at the break then. Into the second half, then Everton took the break with took the lead with a great flowing move down the right. Crossed first time, and Sigurdsson, arriving on the edge of the box, hit the ball. I think it was sort of on the half volley. But it was beautifully taken, whistled past Lloris, and so Everton had gone in front. But then another diabolical piece of defending on 68th, where a clearance by Keane hit the Holgate, and it bounced back to Harry Kane, and he doesn't miss those chances. And he slotted it home for 2-2. He went off injured at the end, some sort of concern for the manager, Mourinho, about how long he's likely to be out with an ankle knock. But the result really didn't help either team. Spurs retained seventh position, a point ahead of Everton, are in eighth. Final score then at Goodison Park, Everton 2, Tottenham Hotspur 2. Okay, it's time for some more Premier League results. And it has to be said that this weekend, a restricted programme, because of the two FA Cup semi-finals taking place at Wembley Stadium. So Saturday's fixture, just two of them, and the opener was a cracker. I watched it on the internet. It was Newcastle at home to West Ham United. Newcastle fourth from bottom, West Ham fourth from top, and both sides wanted to remain where they are, or certainly not drop down the table. It was a pretty exciting match, but it got off to a rather slowish start, fairly well matched, and then on minute 36, ball was pushed across the West Ham back line, just inside their own half, and Dawson, a very poor touch, the ball got away from him, and he then lunged at the oncoming Joe Linton, who got to the ball before Dawson, and the collision allowed St. Maximum to race clear into the box, and his shot was saved by Fabianski, but he pushed it against Diop, who was in there trying to deny the goal-scoring opportunity, and he just managed to turn it into his own net. So, rather fortuitously, Newcastle have gone ahead. A few minutes later, we saw another piece of really abject defending, to be perfectly honest. Fabianski, from a corner, managed to drop the ball inside his six-yard box without much of a challenge. And Joe Linton was there to snap up the opportunity, and Hammers were two down. interval arrived, second half, and Newcastle, for some reason, sat back on their two-goal lead. And you could sense that things were likely to change. It took till 73 for West Ham to get a great headed goal from Diop, making up for his own goal. And that put the game at 2-1. And then 7 minutes later, pressure from West Ham, a throw-in on the left, the ball came across the box, and the ball managed to hit the arm of the Newcastle defender, and it looked a bit innocuous, but you know what, his arm was high, and the penalty was awarded, and Jesse Lingard stepped up and levelled matters. Kieran Clark was the culprit, and so it was back to 2-2. Well, it was panic stations now from Newcastle, but it seemed to jerk them into life, and they brought on Willock, and Willock it was who snatched the lead back on 82, and it was a very good opportunity which he took, and they regained the lead. And they hung on to that, just about. So West Ham, of course, had played the whole of the half with 10 men because Dawson had been sent off for his challenge on Joe Linton. It was a second yellow. So final score then at St James Park. A relieved Steve Bruce's team, Newcastle United 3, West Ham United 2. The second fixture on Saturday was at Molineux, Wolves at home to Sheffield United. Pretty poor game by all accounts. I did watch some highlights. Wolves weren't impressive at all, really, but they did manage to snatch the win on minute 59, setting up William Josie's first goal following good work by Traore. The Blades, well, the problem with the Blades is that they just can't score goals. And they did create a few half chances, but they just couldn't put it away. This result meant that it was now certain that they would be playing Championship football next season. Wolves, they're still on 12th, 3 points behind Villa on 11th. I think they're going to struggle to get much higher, because the teams above them, Leeds and Arsenal are within range, but after that they're far too far behind. But anyway, a win for them. Final score, Wolves 1, Sheffield United 0. Continuing the roundup of the Premier League action over this FA Cup semi-final weekend. Sunday saw two matches. The early kick-off was a London derby at the Emirates, Arsenal at home to Fulham. Time running out for Fulham and for Scott Parker. I watched all of this match, and Arsenal certainly the better side, but they didn't seem to have that same desire and drive that we saw on Thursday night in Prague, where they demolished Slavia Prague 4-0 in the Europa League quarter-final. But they did have the better of things. But Fulham, more resilient these days, much more difficult to break down in the back, about at the back. And there was only one incident in the first half, which led to a Sabarius header from a Bellerin cross, looked like a goal. But VAR intervened and ruled it out, a toe offside or something. Then on 56 minutes, a sloppy piece of defending by Arsenal. Lima, I don't think his pronunciation is quite right, he was tapped by Gabriel, who has a habit of being clumsy, it has to be said. And the referee awarded a penalty. It looked soft, but Marja stepped up and put it wide. Ryan deputising for Leno, and that was 1-0 to Fulham. From there on, of course, Arsenal on the front foot, trying to batter the door down. Fulham's defence living dangerously at times. The goalkeeper, Mallory, performed miracles at times to keep them out. And it looked like they were going to go away with a win at the Emirates, which they haven't done for the best part of... Well, they'd never done, in fact, in the Premier League. But then on 96 minutes, Nketiah had come on as a substitute for Lacazette. He managed to poke the ball home after a lot of constant pressure on the box at Fulham. And so that was 1-1, and that's how it finished. Very, very disappointed, Scott Parker. The Arsenal coach was pretty defiant that his side should have won anyway, Arteta, which is probably true, but they just couldn't get the ball in the net. So anyway, the final score at Emirates was Arsenal 1, Fulham 1. So, second game on Sunday was at Old Trafford, Manchester United versus Burnley. Burnley won there last season, and they proved a very difficult nut to crack in recent times, although Manchester United have the overwhelming superiority with regard to this fixture. From the kick-off, though, it looked like they were still sleeping from that 2-0 soft win against Granada, because the ball was hoofed up front. Henderson got himself into a right state, coming for a ball that he should never have come for, and Wood headed the ball in, and it looked a perfectly good goal. But VAR had a look, and they spotted an offside prior to the final action, and so it remained goalless. That was a score at half time. And Burnley looking good for it. Dangerous on the break. Manchester United possession, but really couldn't get their mojo going. One wondered how long it would be before the substitutes would arrive. 47 minutes, a break by Rashford. He quickly found Greenwood on the opposite side of the penalty box. After an audacious feint by Fernandes and letting the ball go through his legs to Greenwood. Greenwood's shot was ferocious and it went in, and that was 1-0 to United. Didn't last long though. 49 minutes, a header from Tarkowski from a corner whistled past Henderson. Maguire didn't really cover himself in glory, to be perfectly honest. Tarkowski much too strong for the England centre half, and we were back level. After that, Burnley still looking like they could get another goal, but United dominating things, and eventually those substitutions happened. And 83 minutes, a shot from Greenwood again on the right side of the box. Caught a wicket deflection off Cork, and it went whistled past the keeper, and so United had got in front. 2-1 then, and with Burnley pressing desperately for an equaliser, 92 minutes, a counter, quick counter, involving some good work by Fernandes, and Van de Beek had come on. Laid the ball on a plate for Cavani in the box, who'd also come on, and that was 3-1. That was the final score. Really flattered Manchester United, but it consolidates their second position, and now they're closing in on Manchester City, only 8 points behind. But I still don't think anybody on the planet will believe that they're going to overcome that points tally. So final score then at Old Trafford, Manchester City 3. Burnley won. Monday night match then at Elm Road, Leeds at home to the champions Liverpool. Saw brief highlights of this. Liverpool definitely had the better of the first half, and on the half hour, Mane tapped in from an Arnold set-up who was that bit quicker than the goalkeeper to a through ball. A simple chance for Mane then, 1-0. Leeds much better in the second half, and eventually on 87 minutes, Llorente headed in from a corner to give them a 1-1 scoreline. A score that really reflected their endeavour and their persistence, very much akin to Bielsa's style of play. Klopp disappointed because it means that they didn't capitalise, and that top four finish is now being a little bit questioned. A lot of debate was, of course, about the Super League. All I would want to say on this possible venture with the 12 top richest clubs in Europe is greed, and that about sums it all up. So that completes this round of fixtures in the Barclays Premier League.